This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It is Friday. No reason to be down today because there's plenty going on, plenty to talk about, certainly in the world of sports and definitely beyond as well. I get in a little bit of the beyond, but sports. How about those Dodgers last night? They kept their World Series hopes alive. Now, I suppose they were favored in that game, but if the Dodgers are going to make a World Series, they're going to have to win two more as well, so that would be three in a row. They went 11-2 last night in the NLCS, win Game 6 scheduled for Saturday back in Atlanta. We'll see what happens there. Surely Braves not going to blow a 3-1 lead 2 years in a row. Steph Curry, you see him, went off last night, 45, had 8 threes as well. Tigers football with a slick big game tonight. We'll talk about that. It's down at UCF. It's a UCF team we've talked about without Dylan Gabriel. You'd certainly love to see, John, the Tigers come back with a W, setting up what would in a couple of weeks be a nice opportunity against hopefully a ranked SMU team right back here at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
A little audible.
Got that?
Audible called.
Because it keeps changing. But that's what you need to remember. Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. We got the Liberty back in there.
Liberty, 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 Liberty. That's kind of what I'm
Well, you're bringing it already today.
I'm bringing
you
it.
You sound just like the commercial, John. Great job.
Thank you very much.
Not sure that's even associated with that. Not, it is, it's not, right?
No.
They'd prefer you not sing that jingle, I'm sure.
The Simmons, when we do write jingles for companies on this show, do they need a
well,
jingle?
Well, you do, and you've got one that's topping the charts. How are you, Dave? You look a little down. Is it the Raiders?
No, I'm feeling great, man. Everything is great.
Is Patty with us? Is Patty fine today?
Patty's in a bad place right now.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. I just sense a little down.
Yeah, Patty's in a bad place right now.
Why is that? Because the padlock didn't hit last week?
Yeah, you know, it was just a tough week. It was a tough week, obviously,
okay.
You know. And, you know, we obviously made a vow not to go in on the Titans, you know.
Again. Oh, so life's not as much fun anymore.
It's not,
for
man.
You.
Oh,
I get it.
It's not as much fun anymore. And so we are definitely going to try again. You know, we're going to get back on that horse.
Will Patty be on the Titans?
No.
Oh.
He will not. The Titans will not be a part of this selection this week.
Oh,
Chiefs or Titans, of course,
that's
right?
That's the big game.
We are staying away.
It's not much big games.
We are staying away from Chiefs Titans this weekend.
Not doing that again, huh?
Maybe that'll be a.
It's not really
bear.
A horse, right?
You gonna bounce there?
Chance for Creasy Bear to pounce.
Yeah, you know, it's almost disrespectful to the segment to call it getting back on the horse. It's more like a caged bull, you know. And I've been getting kicked in the nuts every single week by this bull.
You were 3-2 going into the Monday night game last week.
But I continue to come back, you know, like Rocky, except without the triumph, and I am bruised and beaten.
This dude acts like he hasn't gotten a pick right all season.
You've done pretty good.
This isn't the way you do
this. You did a good job.
It doesn't. I'm losing for you right now. I'm losing, you know.
So you feel an immense pressure.
No, I mean, this is what it must feel like for a bad NBA team.
Can I just say that, you know, for a while there, I thought that Jason and I, who do scrap picks, because we have to wait and see who you don't pick, you know, so there's, and we only get one. So we only get one crack at it.
Let's be real. We're afterthoughts.
Yeah. This is not our bit. Mm-hmm. It's not our bit.
No, it's not.
Okay, it's your bit.
No,
but.
But.
But even
tell
when
the
we
news,
get,
BC.
Even when we get drag picks, We 500.
Well, look, here's the thing.
BC on a hot streak.
Here's the thing.
We're on a heater, bro.
Hadn't you won two or three in a row?
One team has to cover.
We're 3-3.
One team doesn't. So you got a 50% chance, and no matter what game you choose to pick.
That's a good point.
Of being right. But you know what?
That's where we are.
1 o'clock.
This is how the Orlando Magic are going to feel this year, you know?
Oh, here we go.
Because they're gonna play a lot of games. They're going to show up. Mm-hmm. And they're going
to
lose.
I think there's a possibility, Brad, we may have to go back to letting John hate on the Titans again because it feels like he's lost a part of himself coming here. Does it not?
Yes.
He doesn't feel whole
It does.
In here.
Yes.
I like the idea of a newly changed John, but
it's
it feels
reformed.
Like, right, that heel part of when it comes to Titans has been a part of the show, and it feels like it's missing today.
Yes. You know, it's like when you get right, you know, it's just you're not living as fun of a life.
Is it because you had to speak in front of the congregation Tuesday and come to Jesus with us?
It's weighing on me. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I have to walk that path.
This is a much tougher walk, John.
Yeah.
Maybe not as fun.
And so I'm
righteous walk.
You know, I'm doing it. You know, I'm doing it. What's that old saying
Tigers will cheer him up on.
What's the old saying about the edge from Hunter S. Thompson? Isn't it something like, you know, those who, you know, the only people who can speak about the edge are the people who have gone over it. Here's a quote.
Fight back, John.
There is no honest way to explain it. Because the only people who really know where it is are the ones who have gone over it. And I've gone over the edge. There is no doubt about that in that segment. But we will try to climb back. And I would appreciate your support in that journey.
You think if Ja misses a couple of threes one night, he comes back and, well, I'm going to try to hit the three.
No.
What if Ja missed?
Shoots that thing with confidence.
What if Ja missed 15 in a row?
He would still come back just like Giannis and shoot the next one. You cannot be Ben Simmons.
Well, I
you
feel like Ben right now.
You can't be afraid to take the shot.
I want to pass it to y'all.
Confidence
y'all
up.
Handle it. Y'all just take care of it.
We shouldn't have to be Mickey and Apollo in here trying to cheer you up, Rocco.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Off the mat.
I tell you what, I am gonna be cheered up very soon because at 11:25 we are going to have our first in-studio visit in 2 years. With the First Lady of University of Memphis basketball.
Looking forward to that.
She is the great Vicky Finch. Now, we have done this. I think we did it in 2018. We did it in 2019.
Correct.
Obviously,
missed 2020 because of COVID.
Yeah.
But before every Memphis basketball season does officially start, we like to check in with Vicky. And also, Larry Finch Plaza is about to be unveiled with a statue of Larry Finch over there on South Campus, right?
Park Avenue campus,
yep.
You got to get with that. That's the Big 12 name.
Yeah, Big 12 name.
That thing is looking good, that Park Avenue thing. They're building left and right.
And so we're going to talk to Vicky about just sort of, you know, the stakes for Penny Hardaway and this Memphis basketball program and also, you know, the honor, right, and how close we are. Thursday, right?
Next Thursday,
yeah.
Which is just Thursday now since, yes, it's Friday.
Obviously, a well-deserved honor for her and the family, and we know everything that Coach Finch meant for Memphis basketball.
Nice little note, too, that I discovered in going back and reading about the dedication, which will be, as John mentioned, Thursday over the Park Avenue campus, that Larry Finch statue, which Frank Murtaugh and Dr. Rudd and so many have had a hand in sort of getting this up off the ground and then making it all come to fruition, is going to look towards Orange Mound. It's going to be facing... Right, everything else is going to be facing down Park, right, looking back towards Orange Mound, which is nothing more appropriate than that.
Yep.
You know, Larry Finch, Orange Mound veteran.
Yeah, so Vicky's going to join us at 11:25 in studio. Looking forward to that. 12:25, Wren Baker, University of North Texas athletic director, old friend. We're going to have him on. We're going to allow him to attempt to sell it and just, you know, basically prove himself. As a worthy member of a league mate.
He doesn't need to do that.
For the University of Memphis.
Maybe he does.
Sell us on it. Get us to buy into it.
Oh, he's one of the ones we can talk ourselves into, right? You said they're paying their coaches $1 million.
Yeah. But he can kind of give us the, you know, his thoughts on it. And I'm also interested to ask him, you know, what his personal what does he think he's joining, right? Does in the back of his mind, he reads and probably hears the same stuff that we all do, right? About how
probably more
the University of Memphis has a wandering eye, don't they?
I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, like they're just not committed to the marriage, you know.
So you wonder if you'll get a Wren who's going to tell you the,
right.
No, we look forward to many,
right.
many years competing
right.
with Memphis
right.
in the new look AAC.
Right.
Or if you're going to get one that says, yeah, absolutely, that's the talk, and we understand that could be the situation. Be interested to see.
Yeah, so
I had that question down, too. I think Wren.
Oh, he'll have a way, but, you know, we have to ask it. You know,
he's
but I also think he'll be honest.
That's what I was supposed to say. I think Wren will be real.
Yeah. And so we will. And he has requested, by the way, Hulk Hogan's music, the real American.
Oh, I was going to queue up. I had the North Texas fight song.
No, he doesn't want that.
He wants the real American.
What's the real American?
See, this
yeah.
is
music?
A great day for North
yes.
Texas and Wren.
I'll have
man.
To. Okay.
They're looking for a grand welcome. So make sure you got the. You know, the lay and all that stuff, like you're welcoming into Hawaii, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he said one of the conditions of him joining the show was it had to be intro real American.
We're going to need you to be a little bit more cheery than you've been so far.
In all fairness, North Texas, despite being CSUSA level, like their stuff looks good. They got
a good
stadium.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you got Dallas money. I mean, they're just outside Dallas.
Money coming in there.
I mean, for perspective, like not that this is how you should necessarily measure everything, but like, Wren Baker almost makes double what Laird Beach makes
that's
at Memphis.
Great. Yeah.
Like, that's my point is that, like, that's what North Texas pays. It's people.
Wow.
You know? And
as
so,
opposed to UTSA, who gives them
absolutely
minimum wage.
Minimum wage, if that. Yeah. they got a shortage.
Yeah.
Like, even the coaches are staging a walkout down there. You know, it's like Kellogg's and that thing. So, anyway, we will talk to Wren Baker at 12:25. Then at 1 o'clock, we're going to do Patty's picks. Mercifully, and then at 1:25, we'll be joined by the great Jay Williams. We'll ask him, is Ja Morant going to be an All-Star? We'll get his thoughts on the top 75 list, get his thoughts on how the Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons situations get resolved, if they do get resolved, who's get resolved first, all that and more. So it's a pretty loaded show today, and it's a pretty loaded weekend because you got Grizzlies taking on the Clippers tomorrow in L.A. That's a big one. I don't know if you saw last night, Steph Curry had 25 in the first quarter, was 9 of 9 from the field.
I felt like the entire world was watching. Ja Morant, entire NBA, certainly. They were all
But you know what? It kind of sucks because he cooled off considerably. You know, like when you have 25 in the first quarter, it's like I really you have to finish with 60, right? Like you just do. He did not. He was not able to maintain the pace there. Still a hell of a first. I mean, one of the best performances in a single quarter you'll ever see. But the Clippers do take on the Memphis Grizzlies tomorrow night inside Staples. So that's a big one. And then on Sunday, we are going to have the first official look at the University of Memphis basketball program. Jalen Duren, Imani Bates, I mean, all these new-look guys, right, and this team. We're going to see how Imani Bates handles the point guard position. So that's a big one. And then today there was some news. I don't know if it was news so much as just an interesting thing. But there's another mock draft that has Josh Minot going in its first round.
Stunningly. Can we be honest about this? Because we talked about it almost thinking, this must be a mistake over at NBA. Is it NBADraft.net? We've stopped using it to that point, but it had him at number 10 in the first round for this upcoming draft.
Yep.
Now, that was after a pro day where we literally talked to one of the guys inside, and Jonathan Gavoni, we were there ourselves, who I think – John, did you have to ask him about Minot?
Because I think so, yes.
You know, it wasn't right there at the top of his list, and certainly he wrote about it afterwards. He wasn't like, Minot's not a guy who's risen up to be possibly a one and done, and yet here we are. I think, is it Bleacher Report here, the second one, to have Josh Minot in the first round, mocked as a first-round draft pick? Again, none of us, at least right now, are going into the preseason, working on that assumption that you'd be looking at a one and done for Josh Minot, because number one, Josh Minot, is he going to play enough to turn himself into a first round NBA draft pick?
I think
many of us have been working under the assumption that Josh Minot would play here at least 2 years. That said, whether it's copycat thing or whatever else, he's on now two mock drafts, first round.
I think that's the main concern I would have about Josh Minot's one and done first round status, because He's just gonna have to battle for consistent playing time. He just is, because if you look at that, like, the wing is the piece on this team where Memphis is the most loaded, because you've got, Imani, I'm still gonna count as a wing because he's gonna get those kinds of minutes, right? Lester, Landers, mm-hmm. Earl Timberlake, you have other guys who are gonna take up minute, like. In Penny's offense, they're going to be guys who take up minutes there, just taking turns. Josh Myers is going to play. He's going to be a contributor on this team, but you know, I think you're talking seventh, eighth man, right? I think that's kind
of that with Jeff
where he fits in. And is Memphis basketball going to be so loaded where the seventh or eighth man gets drafted in the first round? I mean, that's amazing. Not saying it can't happen because, you know, look, he would be getting drafted on potential. He'd be getting drafted on upside, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think
they got him number 29 over Bleacher Report.
Yeah, I just think it's far more likely. Again, having not seen Memphis basketball play a game, we won't see that until Sunday. I believe that's going to be streamed also on ESPN Plus. I would bet against him. Josh Minot feels like the guy who would really see his stock explode after a sophomore season. He feels like the perfect candidate for that. Like, yeah, you know, maybe you'll get drafted in the second round, you'll get a sniff, get a two-way, but if you come back for a sophomore season, you could maybe play yourself into the lottery. I mean, I think that's kind of where I would settle on Josh.
If Josh Minot was this is the way I feel. If he was, if there was buzz that Josh Minot was going to be a first-rounder, we would have heard it coming out of that pro day from guys like Gavoni and those NBA scouts. Instead, what were they talking about? Who's the guy maybe not at the top of your list? You know, Camden was mentioned.
Yep.
So that's the point, is that if he was moving up this fast, based on what they've seen already, I think there would be more buzz about this rather than him just showing up on a couple of mock drafts, Bleacher Report, and NBADraft.net. What they're banking on, at least what Bleacher Report writes, is that Memphis is going to have scouts watching it all season long, and that eventually a guy like Minot is going to emerge as someone they're interested in. They're banking it on what they see this season. I'll say this, Memphis will be in the spotlight enough, but whether or not he's enough of a part of the rotation, to John's point, to push himself up there, whereas, listen, he's got work to do because you're coming off a pro day where they were all there. Every team in the NBA was there watching. And there's not this buzz from, again, more credible, let's just be real, more credible outlets like ESPN, that kind of thing.
Yep.
You see what I'm like? Didn't he redo his top? His top 100, I think, and again, Minot not on it.
Correct.
I'll put more stock in that, especially for a guy who was there, than I do these ones that are assuming, oh, because Memphis is going to be on TV a lot, they're going to see Josh Minot's frame and all that stuff, and they're going to put him on. That's what I think you're still looking at 2 years. That said, it's like I said with Jeff, Minot going to be in the rotation because you want to keep him.
Yep.
I mean, he's going to be out there.
Yes.
And I don't think it's impossible that, you know, they make a deep run in the tournament, and yeah, guys like him start getting more of a whiff, but I don't think it's happening this season.
Yeah, I mean, I would
bet against it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Now, you know, is there a way, I'm just trying to.
Yeah, it can happen.
I'm trying to,
because they're going to be loaded, and they're going to go deep in the, you know, guys raise their stock. Remember what Juzang did last year in terms of the buzz he created?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I could see a buzz created.
He was the dude, though, on that team. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. He was totally, you know, he's absolutely the dude. He's getting the ball and all that. It won't be that for Minot, but deep runs can create that sort of buzz that could happen. But again, is he going to have a big enough role to work himself into a first round pick, basically off the radar right now, off some's radar right now, at least for 2022?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of like, I think there is just I hate to do it, but I think there is a ceiling on Josh Minot's production simply because of the construction of the roster. Like, there's only so much he's going to be able to do. The usage rate for Imani is going to be crazy high. Leonard's not always going to have his. DeAndre's got to touch the ball. So I think, what's the best kind of season that a guy like Josh Minot can have? 8-5? I mean, I'm just trying to be realistic about it, right?
Now, he does have the NBA size and appears the athleticism,
yes,
too.
But, I mean, who's the last guy that got drafted, you know, in the first round, you
Patrick
know, as a
Williams.
Freshman? I guess he was 8-5, probably.
Off the bench. I don't know if he was 8-5, but it wasn't anything popping off the page at you, but he was not a starter for those Florida State teams.
But he was top 10 pick?
I mean, he was a sixth man.
Yeah.
He was, and I think sixth man, you know, that's a
he
bigger role.
He averaged 9-4. I mean.
Well, that's less. Well,
but it was a horrible pick.
That sixth man, though, is bigger role than I think. Minot's going to be 7 or 8 here.
That man did not start a single game.
Here's the point. Minot going to have a hard time beating out Earl Timberlake for sixth man when Earl Timberlake's on these boards already.
Yep.
See what I'm saying?
Yep.
And has the body and everything else. So, you know, again, Earl Timberlake's shot, too, going to determine how much he's out there as well, that shot they're trying to reconstruct. But, listen, not rooting against Minot to turn himself into a one-and-done.
No, obviously it would be great
for
Penny.
Just think it's unlikely.
Yes.
Just think it's unlikely. Yeah, it'd be great for Penny.
Amazing.
Talking about bringing in a guy, and you could say you developed him 1 year.
Right.
And he's there, but you can tell that same story if he's there for two, you know. And, again, for a guy like Josh Minot, I think he needs it. but he's got the potential clearly to be a pro.
Yeah. And so anyway, we'll get our first look. I'm excited about it. First real look at Memphis basketball playing somebody else. Somebody else other than, it's not going to be a
Jeff
a pro
asked me, day. What can we learn? I'm not sure that you learn anything from these preseason ones, haven't done it
you
for a
few years.
You can
only learn if they lose. That's the only thing you can learn, right? Mm-hmm. We learned about Memphis basketball when they lost to Christian Brothers that season was doomed. And it was. I mean, it was doomed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like there was no coming back from that. So we can learn how bad you are if you lose. But there's nothing to take away from, a 35-point win over Lemoyne Owen, no matter what.
Do you think these starters will be who we'll likely see on November, 9th is the opener?
I guess I would say I doubt it.
November 9th, Tennessee Tech.
So I would say I doubt it, but it's possible. But I see Penny experimenting. Like, I just see him, really tinkering. I could see him. It would not – I don't know. I'm just totally thrown. But it would not shock me if somebody random started. I could see Penny just tinkering. Like if Jaden found his way into that starting five, it would not shock me, man. It's just an exhibition. It doesn't matter. All these guys are going to play.
Well, now you're going against Lionel Hollins, though.
That's right. You cannot take that team lightly.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming in here with cruel intentions.
Bonzi said he needs some help. He got some help now.
Yeah.
Lionel going to be looking to win.
That's a hell of a staff, man. It's a hell of a what are they, D2, D3, NAIA? It's a hell of a staff at that level, no doubt about it. But that's happening on Sunday, 4 p.m., I believe. It'll be on ESPN+, Memphis taking on Lemoyne Owen. The beginning, the start of what hopefully will be a magical season. We'll come back. The first lady of Memphis basketball is Vicky Finch, obviously the wife of the late, great Larry Finch. We will talk to her about how she's been and what she thinks about Memphis basketball this year for Penny and the honor of having the Larry Finch Plaza unveiled next week. We'll get into all of that with her when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
We're back, and as promised, we have got the first lady of Memphis basketball, wife of the late, great Larry Finch. We're so blessed to get a chance to check in with her again before the Tigers tip off the season unofficially on Sunday against Lemoyne Owen, be the first of two preseason games. Her name is Vicky Finch. She joins us now. She is beautiful as always, stepped up out of that red car. Looking gorgeous. And I tell you what, you come in here and that light is shining again.
Oh, amen.
Thank you.
You feeling
so
better on a Friday now, John?
Oh, it's like the guardian angel of Memphis basketball.
100%.
Tell me more, fellas. Tell me more.
100%. How excited are you about year four for Penny Hardaway and this team?
I am so excited with Penny because he has done such a magnificent job so far. And for him to come in and do what he does and love doing it, he remind me of my husband so much. But Penny is one of the kind. He's one of a kind. I can't say too much about Penny.
Well, I was going to say, you've told us this before. You have sons. You have your own sons. But it must feel like, too, having played for your husband and what Penny meant to him. And I know every player meant a ton to Larry, but it must feel like son, too, watching a son coach this team and lead this program in the spot where your husband did.
Yes. Anytime I hear Penny or see Penny, I think of Larry. I do. And I can imagine him sitting back with a big grin on his face saying, do it. That was his thing. Just do it. So he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, and he's loving it, doing it, even though, it's a lot of clouds around him. They tried to keep the sunshine out.
Oh.
They can't.
IRP.
They can't keep us out.
Before we get to those possible clouds, something very important happening next week. The
yes.
plaza over on the Park Avenue campus is going to be dedicated. We're going to get a chance to see the statue of your husband, the plaza being dedicated itself. That event, are you nervous at all? How are you feeling looking at that? All of a sudden, it's going to be a statue of your husband right there in front of the Lori Walton facility for all to see and forever.
I know. This is a big event for me, and Larry would just be so elated about it because he's up there with B.B. King and Elvis Presley
with
and Larry Finch.
With a statue.
Yeah, with a statue.
Now, when y'all were kids and I told you that back then, would you have believed it if I told you what all y'all, that your family and that name was going to mean to this city when y'all were just, you know?
That was inconceivable. All we know, all I knew is that Larry Finch loved him some basketball and that he loved the city of Memphis and the people around him that encouraged him just put the strength in him to do what he had to do, you know. Mm-hmm. So at that time, Larry Finch with a statue, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the city of Memphis, that was inconceivable. But now he deserves it.
Amen.
There's nobody on that campus that deserves it more, right? In terms of the process, so have you seen everything? Like, will it be the first time you see it? Like, what sort of is the process and your involvement with it?
Well, they did send me a picture. They got, you know, my approval that this is okay, you know. And they sent it to my son. And we both agreed that it was a beautiful statue. The guy who did a magnificent job. It looks like Larry.
Wow.
You know, some statues they put up,
uh-huh.
it doesn't look like the person that
yep.
they placed. But for Larry, it is definitely him. And it's on a campus. Fellas, you won't believe this. It's on a campus where my father used to work. My father was in World War II, and he was a nurse. At that time, they called it a nurse's aide, and he worked on that campus. And that building
really?
Over there where Penny is now.
That's amazing.
So I look at it, and so I can think of Larry. I can think of my dad. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people in Orange Mound probably had people that worked at that time
mm-hmm.
it was called Kennedy Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But they changed it to Veterans Hospital. And it just bring up so many good memories.
And I heard the statue I read from Dr. Rudd that it's going to be pointed towards Down Park, pointing back towards Orange Mound, like
right,
it rightfully should be.
Right.
So well done. You gonna have all the family out there, I'm assuming, next Thursday?
If I can get them out there, I'm inviting.
You shouldn't have,
all
you don't have to twist anybody's arm.
That's right. Right.
I'm that family.
I love as many people that grew up in Orange Mound to be there to represent our community and also to represent the city of Memphis, because Larry was not thought of. It's just just Orange Mound. It was Memphis. Everybody thought of, when you said Larry Finch, you said the city of Memphis. And so we want something good to look upon, because there's so many terrible things in the news. So this is something that you can really let your light shine upon and sort of relate to it. A lot of the people in Orange Mound can relate to this. Mm-hmm. All over the city of Memphis, it's just like the people with Penny. Everybody think of Penny as Penny
mm-hmm.
rather than Coach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they can relate to him, because they were there when he grew up, and all these fantastic things he's doing because he loved the city.
So,
on Larry, because, you know, I'm 30. So I have only heard about Larry, player, coach. But one of the things that I remember reading, it was a Jeff Calkins column, maybe from, you know, 96, I don't know. But he was talking about Larry going around Memphis in his Isuzu, handing out schedules, like really grassroots. And, you know, for somebody that didn't get to watch Larry or get to really watch him coach, like that was a story that really resonated. Was that really what Larry was doing? Was he going around and handing out, you know, schedules door to door?
Well, the thing is, Larry never forgot his roots. And it was his connection to the people. And these were the people that were supporting him when he went to that Coliseum. That Coliseum was packed. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just blacks, it was white and the rest. And I know one of my favorite things were the radio announcers, people like yourself, Jack Eden. And, you know, and news reporters like Lapides. These are people that stood behind him the whole while he was there. You know, we couldn't do anything wrong. Jack Eden, I mean, I don't care if his call was right, it was wrong, if it was against Memphis.
Right.
But now, you know, everybody is so critical of every little thing that, you know, we need to get back to being diehard. That was diehard fans. Those mm-hmm. are fans that, you know, we couldn't do anything wrong. And when we did, it was a mistake. It wasn't like we actually did. It was just,
right.
It was just a mistake that happened to us. But Larry loved the people. Larry used to, before every game, would go and shake hands with the handicaps and the wheelchairs that was lying. Mm-hmm. And my son asked him one day, "Daddy, why you going and stop what you're doing to go shake their hands rather than pay attention to what the boy's doing and warm up?" And he told him that, look, those are the people that has gotten out of their bed, that have gone to the extreme to get dressed, to get down here to this game. And if they think enough of me, or our team to come out here to support us, I'm going to let them know I appreciate it. So he just appreciated people.
And he did that for everybody. Like it almost felt like everybody got that special attention. That was
right.
When you think of Larry the player and then the coach, do you have great memories of both? Are there more on one side than the other? Because it was a much different pressure. And I suppose, too, a criticism, once you become coach, were there good times and all? Was there more good times when he was the player than the coach? Do you remember them evenly? You know what I mean?
I think when it came to playing, it was a natural for Larry. And this is something, at that time, when kids played basketball, they enjoyed the sports. It wasn't all these teams you had to be on and coaching through it. It was backyard basketball or a basketball goal at the end of the street where you could just go out and do what you got to do. In fact, Larry was the type of kid, he would miss a game. You know, there's several instances where Larry showed up at a basketball game and he was supposed to be in bed. He was sick. He snuck out the window. You know, and to get to that game, and of course Mrs. Finch came and pulled him off the floor. But it was like a love for the game. It's just that he got so much gratification out of it, and he was passionate about it. Now with the coaching, he was still passionate about it, mm-hmm. but at the time he had to wait his turn. It wasn't like he could go out and do what he wanted to all of a sudden. And that's where Coach Bartow came in,
right.
And where he saw Larry had a passion for it. And when he was coaching Larry in college, Larry was the on-court coach. He was the one that he would decide, okay, we need to start doing this. Or he would grab Ronnie, and Ronnie would grab him when he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. He would say, come on, big cat, or Ronnie would tell him, come on, little Tubby, what's wrong? Let's go. You know, it was coaching on the floor as uh-huh. well as on the bench. So it with coaching, he loved it when he got to do it. As long as he was doing it his way, and that's the thing about coaching. Everybody got an opinion about how you should coach. With Larry, it was that's your opinion. I'm going to do it my way because I'm the one to have to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people feel like they can, even though they have had no training, no background, they can tell you, but he never put them down. He just said, okay, thank you. I appreciate that opinion. But in his mind, I'm going to do what I got to do. And he enjoyed it. And just to see the athletes succeed. You come in there with a kid from high school, and you know they got talent, and to work on these talents, and then for them to come out to be more than you ever anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even about on the court. It's off the court. A lot of them didn't go into pro basketball. Most mm-hmm. didn't go into pro basketball. But the areas that they went into, they have been successful at doing what they are doing because of the training. You know, we got some in the medical field. We got some in politics. We got them all over the place coming from the University of Memphis, that Larry coached. And to see three of his players end up coaches,
mm-hmm.
you know, not only Penny, but Tony Medlock,
yep.
and Andre Turner.
That's right,
Lane.
And then how many high school coaches we have that's out there. These are players that went in and they actually listened to the coach. And so I think Larry would be in second heaven. He's in his first heaven,
mm-hmm.
but he would have been in the second heaven to see all his players being so successful.
No question
what
about
they
it.
Do.
Talking to Vicki Finch, of course, the wife of the late great Larry Finch here on J&J. Do you when you talked about listening to Penny and hearing some of the same stuff that your husband used to say, and it sounding so familiar? Do you worry at all about? Because you've said Penny, you just said it for your husband. Penny needs to be let him do it his way. Right,
yes.
That's what important. Do you worry about the criticism for him? Do you worry that you? I know, pull a little bit of the curtain back. We were talking earlier this week, and you were real defensive. It sounded like you felt like folks were coming after Penny. This NCAA and all that. Do you worry about Penny, the coach? You know, and the criticism and all that, or is it not? So, have you talked to him about it and doing it your own way? What sort of, you know, what have you talked to him about in terms of, man, I don't, you know, I don't want to see Penny. You know, criticized to the degree that your husband was at the end. Do you worry at all about that?
You know what? I look at Penny and I listen to him when I get a chance to listen. And the last thing he said that reminded me that you don't have to worry about Penny. He said something on one of his talk shows about tunnel vision.
Oh, that's their thing.
That's
this
the new
year.
Slogan. Tunnel that's vision. Their new yep. sort of motto.
So
I heard that, and it just blew me away. Because that's what you have to do. You can't let people come in and upset you or cause you to lose focus on what you want. And people who don't want you to succeed, they're going to always be around to look for any little thing. You know, and I know this isn't a little thing they're talking about, but sometimes I get so upset with what is going on. It's just that I don't mind you do what you do to me. It's just be fair about it. If you're going to do it to me, do it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the penalty you give me, make it the same penalty you would give everyone else. Don't just use me as the scapegoat. Mm-hmm. And that's what people do sometimes. They find a little person and make something big about what they do. And here's a person at a different level getting away with murder, and you may just slap them on the wrist. Just be fair. That's all I ask. And don't hold it as an ace in your pocket. Don't put it in your pocket and say, well, I'm going to pull this out when I need it.
Mm-hmm.
And just let things go on and on. If you're going to do something, do what you got to do, because we can handle it. Penny can handle it. You didn't know Penny Grandmama, but Penny Grandmama was a tough lady.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that can handle Larry Finch at that time
mm-hmm.
was tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Penny has a lot of her qualities, which is good, and which he's is at peace with himself. If you are at peace with yourself, if you have joy in you, then nothing around you can disturb you, because you know that in the long run, it's going to come out in your favor. You know, I am a devout Christian, so therefore I know that there is a God, and whatever you throw at me, hey, I got somebody to catch it before you even get to me.
Wow.
So I don't worry about Penny. I really don't. If he's going to succeed, whether they want him to or not, and with his personality, I mean, he is just, he's cool as a cucumber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he don't let things face him that much. You don't hear him ratting and raving. And I know my husband got criticized a lot because they say, you let them do this to you, and you don't say nothing. You sit back and you... And Larry told them, why would I break down something that I build up?
Right.
I'm not going to go against, you know, the University of Memphis or Memphis because of what others are saying. Is something that I have pride in. This is something that I have built and something that I put my heart and soul into it. Why am I going to tear down those walls? So... And in the end, it helped everybody, all his guys. You know, I remember when Larry was really sick at his end. Do you know who came out and just looked out for me? It was his players. Mm-hmm. I mean, among other people. I'm not saying they were the only one, but it fascinated me that these boys would go, and I told them, I don't have anything to get Larry around to bring him here and there. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know,
got a van.
They yes, did ma'am. A fundraiser to help him get that van, yes, and ma'am. I could take him in it with the lift in it. And it made. And how many teams can say any of their players came back and said, "What can I do for you, coach?" I mean, these are special kids, all of them. I love all of them.
You know, in terms of this season, and we're talking about, you know, obviously Memphis basketball, Penny Hardaway, there are major expectations that he created, right? He went out and he got a number one recruiting class yet again. And I'm hoping that there is some magic in the air, because to unveil that statue before the season begins, I mean, it feels like the best possible omen you could ever ask for. But there are real you've lived it. So you know exactly how it can be in this city when there are major expectations to win. How do you think Penny handles that pressure and those expectations?
Well, you know what? It's not on Penny. It's on the team. Penny is a genius when it comes to coaching. I, you know, some of the things that he has come up with, I think it's just, you know, it's just something that he has a talent for. Now, executing it. For one thing, I noticed that with any winning team, that you have to have a type of relationship. You have to have a relationship. The players have to actually like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime you have a player that's disgruntled, a player that is jealous of another player, you're not going to get very far, because everybody's trying to get their dues. I think this team that he has now, I really think they actually like each other. I had the pleasure of meeting the number one player, and his attitude toward the game and his attitude toward being a part of a team is great. You know, I have no doubt he's going to do what he's got to do. But everybody else got to do what they got to do. And you have to understand that we got players that was here before these young men, and that has already proved themselves to be, you know, mm-hmm. worthy of being here. Like one of my favorite is, I can't think of his name, number two,
Lomax.
Yeah, A-Lo. They yep. call him A-Lo, but I can't think of the A-Lo thing.
Yep.
But anyway, he's just a leader. I watched him when he couldn't play. If he didn't root harder than anybody on the bench the whole while Memphis was playing, if he didn't pat him on the back and
right.
and telling them what they can do, he's just a little a coach on the bench. And he has a lot of talent. And so we got a lot of kids that's on the team that are great, that haven't proven themselves yet, but they haven't been given the opportunity to prove themselves that we know are great. So I say it's not on Penny, because Penny going to come up with the plays. Mm-hmm. Penny going to coach. And if, what's the assistant name?
Larry Brown.
If Larry Brown, I'm sorry, Larry, is as good as they say he is when it comes to coaching. He got assistant because he lost Tony Medlock. Uh-huh. Now, I can remember his name. He lost Tony, and Tony was a great coach. I mean, Tony got that job, but he deserves it.
Absolutely.
I mean, he has paid his dues.
Yeah, you could say that twice.
And he contributed to the team as well as the other coaches that's on the bench. So Penny was surrounded by it. So Brown coming to the team isn't the reason that Memphis is going to win or lose. He's going to bring his knowledge, and Penny going to apply because he's smart. I mean, if you can get in touch with the head person on a project that really know the system, would you not use them? You know,
absolutely.
My daddy used to always tell me, you're as great as the people around you.
Amen.
So Penny has surrounded himself with really great people, and just coaching and everything, the media, I mean, in the city, just good people, and he's going to use it to his advantage. And all I got to say is watch out, and players, do what your coach tells you to do, because I'm putting it on you.
I like it.
You know, and,
I like
and it's
it.
Not a thing about putting it on them. I want them to have fun. Mm-hmm. When you do good and you live up to your excellence, you know, nobody's perfect. Everybody's going to have a bad night. Some people are going to have more better nights than others, but that's okay, too. You just live up to your excellence and know at the end of the day, I gave 100%, and that's all you can do.
It sounds like you foresee with Penny, and like we said, we're on year four now, but you see him unifying, Tiger basketball unifying the city again like it did, you know, late 60s. Like everybody, we always write the story about Larry when he came. It sounds like you think we're going to get back to that.
I think so. I think so. I think people want something to cheer for. Mm-hmm. And what better to cheer than for some type of athletic event? I just say that if you're going to cheer, be 100%. If you're going to be a fan, let's be passionate about our Tigers like you are passionate about your job or you're passionate about whatever you're doing. You got to have passion in it, and you have to do what you have to do, and this is what we have to do. Is support our team and not let anyone talk bad about what Memphis is. And you don't, you know, we do this or we have this in Memphis. Yes, this is everywhere. You look around and you can stick a needle in and a lot of things that are happening over the world. So to have the opportunity to sit back and just enjoy something, fully enjoy, and sports is something that will take you away. You know,
we know it. Yeah.
It will take you away from whatever problems you have. You get into sports, I look at people, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. When you're talking about sports, and, you know, I have friends and family that listen to you religiously. You know, I'm not a telephone person, but I know that they, every time I get in the car, they have you guys on trying to find
John.
A
lane.
Yeah. Hey, because of me.
They love you.
This guy's going national.
I appreciate it.
They love you to death. And that's what I'm saying about the commentators that we had back then. They loved us. Just like I've always heard you say supportive things about, you know, Memphis. And that's the thing. We got to get back to lifting each other up rather than tearing each other down. And I got to say something about the parents of these kids. These parents are magnificent. they're ones that they want the best for their kids, and they're going to do the best for their kids. And I have to salute them because I know they have a million and one people in their ear telling them, you should be doing this and you should be doing that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the parents do what they think is going to be best for their child.
I think at the Madness next year, you need to drop Penny off. You know how he was in that Polaris slingshot in that car that you got? You could have just dropped him off.
In an Isuzu, in honor of Larry Fitz.
Do they roll out the carpet and the roses for you when you walk up into the forum when you had the first lady there?
Oh, God.
I know you're looking forward to this season.
I am. That's why I went out and took all my shots.
Yes.
Took all three of them.
She told me she vaccinated. Wow. I got three shots.
Triple back.
Yeah, she let us
check you out. We got to get you on a PSA in Memphis.
Nothing can stop me now. Nothing.
Isn't it nice, though, to come through that? We didn't even talk about that because the last time was 2019. We're all just taking it for granted. We'll be there with, COVID hits. Isn't it just nice that we're hopefully coming through this thing where we can be back in there and the place is full again here soon?
Yes. I'm
lost so many
folks. I'm going to do my best. I will, even with the shots, I still wear my mask because I don't want to spread it to others. And that's all we can do. We can do, God give us outlets. And I just believe that this is one that he sent down and say, okay, now, if you want to, you got to do, but you got to do a lot of other things too. And so this is what I do. I go out and I thank him, even with the things that Penny are going, the things Penny go through. I think it's all a purpose. I think
always
that he does this. God sent us through things only to make us stronger. I think that the people that Penny has, the kids that Penny have, he's going to help those kids, even though, everybody look at the number one players and whatever, but you got other guys on that team, mm-hmm, too, that are getting a chance to be looked at and are getting chances to succeed and become successful. If not in basketball, they will be
exactly
in something.
Exactly.
Last thing, this is going to be, when you see it on Thursday, it'll be the first time you see it in person. Like, have you thought about, how you're going to react? Do you expect to just be overwhelmed? Like, how do you think you're going to receive it?
I really can't tell you how.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.